Chapter 10. I could hear patients and hospital staff moving around outside in the hall, but all I could focus on was Becca. The beautiful blonde wrapped her hands around the back of my neck and pulled me in for a passionate kiss, and her tongue flickered around mine. She had all of her protective gear removed and stored under the bed, so she was just in her t-shirt with her bare legs peeking out under the covers. Her nipples showed through the thin fabric of her top, too, so I could already tell she'd removed her bra to get cozy up here. I knew I had to be careful with her sore leg, and that she would need to lay there for whatever we were about to do next. The idea of worshipping the gorgeous blonde's body made my hair stand on edge, and I quickly kicked off my boots and started to remove my jacket and bulletproof vest.
"Oh,"
Becca whispered.
"I like my new doctor. Why don't you come and examine me a bit closer?"
"With pleasure," I growled. And when I'd removed everything except my boxers, I carefully maneuvered myself on top of Becca. I made sure not to put any pressure on her leg, and as I lay down on top of her, I could feel her impressive breasts through the fabric of her shirt. She hitched her good leg up against my side and wrapped her arms around my back. Then she gently stroked my skin with her nails, and I nestled in close against her warm body.
"I can't move much,"
Becca giggled. "You don't need to," I replied, as I softly bit down on her neck, and she let out a small moan. I lifted a hand to her face and gently stroked her cheek as we kissed. The kiss became more intense as my hand wandered down her neck to her chest. Then I grabbed one of her breasts through her shirt and kneaded it with a firm hold, and Becca gave out little eager whimpers in response. "Tell me if I'm hurting your leg," I breathed, as I traced a finger down her cleavage and gently tore her shirt up over her breasts. I grinned as I looked down at the soft and stunning figure beneath me, and the perfect curve of Becca's pert breasts made them impossible to resist. Her nipples were erect and bright pink, and her chest rose and fell in anticipation as she watched me admire her. At first, I slowly traced the perfect outline of her underbreasts, but then I cupped one of them and groped around a bit to enjoy the sight of her cleavage swelling. I waited until she was breathing quicker to finally dip my head down, and when I started licking each of her nipples in turn, Becca let out a giggling gasp.
"Oh, Jason,"
Becca giggled.
"Your tongue always feels so good."
"So does yours," I said, as I went back up for another kiss, and Becca's soft tongue ran over mine. As we kissed, I let my hand roam down from her chest and toward her stomach. Every inch of her was silky smooth and warm to the touch, and I gently reached around to give her ass a squeeze through the bedsheet. "Oh, I need to feel more of your skin against me," I growled, as my cock pressed into the fabric of the blanket that separated us. "Would it hurt your leg if I moved the sheet?"
"No,"
Becca grinned coyly.
"Just be gentle with me."
"Always," I murmured. I carefully pulled the thin blanket away from underneath me, and I was greeted with the beautiful sight of Becca's almost naked body. Her shirt was still scrunched up at her neck, so her pert breasts were fully exposed, and all she wore below was a pair of tiny pink panties. Her hurt leg was bandaged up tightly, and I made sure not to touch it too much as I ran my fingers down over the pink fabric.
"Ooh,"
Becca purred.
"Jason, move a bit closer. I want to feel you."
I shifted as close as I could into the space between Becca's thighs, and she reached her hand down to gently trace the outline of my cock through my boxers. I gasped when she suddenly, firmly gripped my erection, and I felt a wave of pleasure electrify my body. Then I started stroking Becca's silky inner thigh, and goosebumps dotted her flawless skin the longer I touched her. When I ran my fingers along her panty line, she started to squirm, and she kept her hand sliding along my cock the whole time. Every time I neared her mound, the blonde Brit would gasp with pleasure, but then she'd pout when I changed the direction of my fingers.
"Jason,"
Becca breathed.
"Please, I want to feel your fingers inside me."
I grinned at her puckered lips as I slowly shifted the thin strip of her panties aside. Then I gently started to probe a finger into her warm tunnel, and I could feel how wet she already was. Adding a second finger into her tight slit made her gasp, but the blonde kept stroking my erection. She whimpered softly like a kitten as her thighs parted wider, and it didn't take long for her breaths to become shallow. I watched her bare breasts swell below me, and I moved my fingers in and out of her warm pussy at a firm, steady pace. Then Becca caught my lips in hers, and we kissed deeply as our fingers explored each other. I felt her start to writhe underneath me as I worked my fingers deeper inside her, and the more forceful I got, the more her legs splayed apart. Then I groaned and broke away from her kiss, and I started to peel off my boxers so I could feel her soft hand around my shaft. As soon as I kicked them off, Becca firmly grasped my cock and started to move her grip up and down quickly. My head felt light as the blonde touched me, and I moved my fingers back into her pussy as my thumb found her clit. Becca's eyes fluttered shut when I massaged the sensitive bud, and I grinned at her little moans as I pumped two fingers in and out of her. "Can you roll over for me?" I whispered.
"Yeah, my leg doesn't even hurt now,"
she breathed, and she carefully turned herself over so I had a view of her perfect ass. She even hitched one leg forward so I could just barely see where her panties clung to her wet pussy, and I groaned as I admired her amazing curves. My fingers hooked on the thin strap of her pink panties, and I slowly pulled them down until they were around her knees. I ran a hand from the cinch of her waist up over her hip and around her plump back end. Then I gave her a playful pinch, and she squeaked as she wriggled in response.
"Jason, you're teasing me. Please, I need to feel your cock inside me. I've had a bad day."
"Oh, yeah?" I murmured, as I slid my fingers along her pussy lips.
"Mm-hmm."
"You need me to make you feel better?" I asked.
"Yes, please,"
Becca replied, and she sent me a pout over her shoulder. Her big brown eyes held mine as her cheeks blushed a soft pink, and I couldn't resist giving her anything she wanted. I shifted and mounted her from behind, and I moved her golden hair out of the way and kissed the back of her neck. I made sure to be as gentle as possible with every kiss, and she shuddered when I just barely bit her earlobe. My cock was wedged up against her warm pussy, and I could feel her wetness as she started sliding herself along my shaft.
"Stop teasing me,"
Becca giggled as she wiggled her perfect butt to try and force my cock inside her. I put my weight on my knees and grabbed her hips for support before I lined my shaft up to her moist entrance. Electricity rushed through me as I slowly sank into her pussy, and she gave a soft little moan as soon as her tunnel accepted my girth. Becca was so warm and tight that I gasped as I gave her another inch, but I made sure to take my sweet time letting her have my full length. "You feel amazing," I growled, as I slid even deeper into her tunnel, and my erection was gripped by her silky walls. Becca only mewled in response, and her blonde hair tumbled over her back as she arched her hips up for more. Then I finally bottomed out in her sopping wet pussy, and I tightened my hold on her small waist as I started thrusting in and out of her. My head spun as pleasure ran through my entire lower half, and Becca gasped when I started to thrust faster and faster.
"Oh, Jason, you feel so big. I'm going to come already."
Good, I grunted and gave her ass another pinch. "Come for me. Oh, I want to feel your pussy squeeze my cock." Becca violently quivered as she buried her moan in the pillow, and the vibrations of her climax shook around my cock.
"Fuck!"
the blonde gasped a moment later.
"Your cock feels so amazing. Oh, don't stop. I want more."
I slowed my pace down just a bit so she recovered, but I didn't pull out. I kept slowly thrusting as her juices seeped out around my shaft, and then I reached forward and gently grabbed a handful of her blonde hair. "My turn," I growled. Then I slammed my cock into her as I playfully pulled on her golden locks.
"Oh, fuck!"
she cried out with pleasure. "You like that?" With one hand locked in her hair, I reached the other down to grab her jolting breast, and I started to fuck her harder and deeper. Becca's tight pussy strained around my shaft with every thrust, and I pinched her nipple as I pumped in and out of her.
I love you, Jason!
Becca squealed, as sweat beaded down her back. I love you too, I gasped, and thrust harder. The blonde Brit's body was fucking perfect, and the sight of her from behind with her little pink panties around her knees while I claimed her pussy drove me wild. She was biting the pillowcase while I tugged on her hair a bit more, and the tighter I pinched her nipple, the pinker her cheeks got. Come with me, I groaned, as I felt a dizzying warmth build in my cock. I'm going to fill you up. The blonde screeched into her pillow, and with every stroke into Becca's silky tunnel, I felt the pressure build. Fuck! I gave her one final deep thrust, and pleasure erupted inside me like a volcano. I gripped her breast in a firm hold as I sprayed my seed deep into her womb, and her violent shudder proved she was finishing with me. Becca's second climax made her pussy convulse around my cock, and I was so overcome with the rush of ecstasy that I had to steady myself. I tore my hand from Becca's hair and braced my weight on her upturned ass, and I gasped as my balls tensed up and my head began to spin. My entire body twitched while my cock pumped more and more sperm into Becca's willing body, and the room tumbled around us. She was just so fucking tight and soft all over, and I panted to keep from passing out while I held my lover tightly underneath me. Holy shit, I eventually groaned. Becca, oh, you're so fucking sexy. Becca moaned against the pillow, and I slowly started to pull out of her pussy. My cock was so sensitive by now that I gasped as I left her warm body, and a stream of pearly cum followed after and dripped down her smooth pussy lips like frosting. Becca collapsed the second I was out of her, and she turned herself around to face me with the biggest, happiest smile.
Thank you, Doctor,
the blonde purred as she crawled forward and planted a wet kiss on my mouth.
I needed that so bad. Every time you fuck me, I feel like the luckiest girl in the whole apocalypse.
I'm glad I could help, I chuckled, as I started to feel strength come back into my limbs. I needed that too. Oh, your pussy is so fucking perfect. And you moan like a kitten when I take you like that. My blonde lover meowed and spread her legs toward me, and I groaned as I eyed her cum-soaked pussy. Then I got up on my knees between her legs, and I slowly inched her pink panties back up her thighs. Keep tempting me and we'll never get to Ravenscar, I murmured, and Becca blinked her big brown eyes at me.
Yes, Doctor,
the blonde Brit purred.
When is my next treatment? I just can't wait for another injection.
I sighed at her tempting smile, and I roughly pulled her panties up over her wet pussy before I caught her sweet lips in mine. Then I gave her a long, commanding kiss, and she whimpered around my tongue. When I say so, I whispered as I released her.
Okay, now you're tempting me,
Becca groaned. Serves you right, I chuckled. Then I gave her one more kiss, and I moved to get up off the hospital bed and get dressed.
You really know how to cheer a girl up, Jason,
Becca grinned as she pulled her shirt back down. I smiled and got the rest of her clothes from under the bed, and I watched the gorgeous blonde wiggle into her pants while I started to get back into my gear. Her cheeks were a delicate pink color, and her blonde hair was a mess from me pulling on it, but she only looked more beautiful like this. Her brow had a dewy sheen of sweat on it, too, and I could smell her body wash all over me along with her sweet cum. With everything going on, I needed that encounter just as much as she had, and listening to Becca's soft moans always helped remind me what exactly I was fighting for. I'm glad you're feeling better, I said, as I watched her tuck her braless tits into her bulletproof vest. I need my badass Brit in top form if she's going to keep kicking ass with me.
A few more fucks like that, and I'll be ready to slaughter 20 dinosaurs for you,
Becca said with a flirty smile. That's what I like to hear, I chuckled. The two of us finished suiting up, and I helped Becca get her shoes back on. Her ankle wasn't too swollen below her bandage, and I was relieved when she boldly started testing her weight on the leg.
Good to go,
Becca said. How bad is it? I asked.
I'll manage,
Becca shrugged as she grabbed a packet of pills from the bedside table.
The doc gave me these painkillers. They're pretty strong, so I mostly feel fine.
Just don't take too many. You're not much use if you're high as a kite, either.
Yes, sir,
Becca said with a mock salute.
The nurses said the dino's claw missed the large muscles in my calf, so I should be able to limp along on it all right. It's mostly the shin that's all for shit.
Oof, damn, I muttered with a grimace.
I'm fine,
the Brit chuckled.
Now, are the others downstairs?
I guess so, I said as I opened the door. The fluorescent light spilled into our dim room, and it was quiet on the first floor. It looked like all the patients had been moved back to their original beds, and we strolled over to the stairwell to make our way down to the ground floor lobby. I carried Becca down to spare her leg the trouble, and when I pushed the door open at the bottom of the stairs, we were met with a flurry of voices and the sound of metal bumping in the metal. We followed the sound down the hall for a ways, and as we neared the entrance lobby, we saw a handful of staff along with Heiwan and Kat. They hadn't dismantled the barrier yet. Instead, they made it sturdier with extra tables and chairs.
Hey!
Heiwan called when she spotted us coming toward her.
I hope you guys both have some energy left. We should hit the road again, now that we've got Becca all stitched up. I feel fully energized,
Becca grinned.
This looks good. Hopefully it should help with any more unwanted guests.
That's the plan,
Kat said as she moved a table over to the makeshift barricade.
We want to thank these guys for saving you.
Amir strode up to us and glanced down at Becca's leg.
Are you guys off then? He asked. I don't know how to thank you for saving the hospital back there.
Helping Becca is all the thanks we needed. I smiled as I shook the doctor's hand. Have you had any more updates from your brother?
Not recently, Amir said. Nothing other than what I told you before, anyway.
Well, I hope you both stay safe, I said. Do you guys need a hand with anything else before we leave?
Nope, the doctor replied. Just take care of yourselves out there. Things are getting worse. I want you guys to make it to Ravenscar.
Oh, we will,
Heiwan said with a determined nod.
We've got grenade launchers to make sure of it.
Amir blinked at the Korean for a moment, and she sent him a sweet smile as she tilted her head to the side.
I should get back to the patients, Amir chuckled. Good luck to all of you, and thanks again.
With that, the doctor gave us a tired smile and headed back through the dim lobby to the ground floor ward.
The fire exit is still open,
Kat said.
We can head out that way.
Kat only double-checked the jeep was safe 7 times,
Heiwan grinned.
So we're good to go.
Not one dino footprint on her,
the soldier reported.
And those assholes didn't even get a good scratch on my weapons case.
Excellent, I agreed.
My bike!
Becca wailed.
I can't really remember coming here, but I'm guessing I didn't drive.
Oh, you don't remember?
Heiwan said with wide eyes.
Becca, you were all over the road. You drove yourself here backward with your breasts hanging out and everything.
Becca smacked the Korean's arm and made her snicker with glee.
I would never ride a motorbike backward,
the Brit huffed.
But you'd ride one with your breasts out,
Heiwan deadpanned.
Oh, absolutely.
Becca flashed me a dirty smile. Kat and I chuckled at the pair, but then Becca sent me an uneasy glance and I sighed. Ah, I said as I recalled the abandoned bike near the beach. Sorry, Becca. There just wasn't a way to carry it along with us. I guess you'll be riding with Kat until we can find a new one.
Oh.
Becca pouted.
I mean, I do love the idea of being driven around by an awesome army chick, but that bike has been with me for so long.
You shouldn't be driving with that leg anyway,
Kat noted.
I'm sure Heiwan can hotwire a new one for you when you're all healed up.
Of course, love. Anything for my pretty blonde friend.
Heiwan winked. Let's get going, I said, as I threw an arm around the Korean beauty's shoulder, and I gave her a kiss on the forehead. Next stop, Becca's mom. For real this time. No more epic dino battles until we get there, okay?
Oh, sure.
Heiwan laughed as we started to make our way to the fire exit.
I'll just make sure the dinos all get that memo. I still can't believe I missed the fight,
Becca said as she hitched arms with Kat.
This leg better heal up fast. I can't take any more missing out.
As we reached the side door, I glanced back at the remaining staff while they finished up the barricade. It wouldn't last forever, but hopefully the wall would be enough to fend off smaller dinos who tried to fit through that window. With any luck, the first idiot who tried to drive through that heap of shit would splatter their brains on the dashboard before they ever made it inside. I took a deep breath of the sharp lemon bleach scent of the lobby, and then stepped out into the parking lot. The sun was behind the cover of some gray clouds, and my eyes didn't need as much time to adjust to the light as before. I could see the damage the herd had done to the parking lot, and it looked like the gang's vans had picked the wrong spot to park. The gray metal had been twisted and trampled into the ground, and a shitload of garbage spewed from the wreck. If the vans had been in one piece, we could have checked for extra food and supplies, but there was no way to get inside the shattered piles of metal. They looked like crumpled up pieces of paper after getting crushed and slammed around by the Triceratops herd.
All aboard?
Kat grinned as she opened the passenger side of her jeep for Becca.
Oh, thank you, soldier.
Becca fawned in her flirtiest tone, and she fanned herself while Kat rolled her eyes. Then the Brit clambered up onto the seat, and she made a show of stroking the corporal's arms while she did it.
I'm not used to having such a gorgeous private chauffeur, but I think I could get used to it.
You got over your bike pretty quickly, I laughed, as I mounted up and started my engine. All it took was the first taste of luxury. I hope you won't upgrade from us that fast.
Fat chance,
Becca grinned.
I think finding a better bunch to be with for the end of the world would be pretty difficult. GPS is good to go,
Haywan said as she checked her phone.
Wow, we should be about 20 minutes away. Can you believe it?
Hell yeah, I can, I sighed as we started to drive. We earned this, and I didn't doubt we would make it for a second.
No, none of those near-death experiences concerned me either,
Haywan agreed with a haughty nod.
Completely normal lives we lead.
Becca laughed, and Kat cheered as we pulled out of the hospital parking lot. Then we started to make our way back to the highway, and I looked over at my girls and knew without a doubt that I was the luckiest guy alive. It had taken a lot of dino guts and injuries to get us this far, but it was worth it with my lovers by my side.
Let's go get my poor mum!
Becca whooped out the passenger window. The air was colder than it had been that morning, and there was a slight wind that kept us alert while we drove. As excited as we were, we soon reached the road along the coastline again, and we had to stay on high alert for any predators in the sea or sky.
That Spinosaurus ruined beaches for me,
Becca hollered as we sped along the gray concrete.
I'll never build a sandcastle again.
I think swimming is off the table for me, I laughed. I've seen too many messed up things come out of water to ever willingly go in again.
What about frying?
Haywan asked.
Imagine being up in a plane and meeting a herd of pterodactyls.
The Asian girl's smile suddenly dropped, and I figured she had just remembered her father's promise that he would come for her. The only way to do that would be by plane, and I just hoped Haywan's dad was as badass as she was. Hey, look, I called, as I spotted a signpost. Ravenscar coming right up!
I can't believe it,
Becca squealed.
You guys are about to be in my hometown!
We hadn't encountered any dinos since the hospital, and I hoped that we could reach Becca's mom before our next visitor came along. I had started to notice how exhausted my body was from being on constant high alert, and I knew the girls would be feeling the same way. Finally reaching our destination couldn't come soon enough. The road brought us along a cliffside with a stunning view of the sea, where I was pleased to see only seagulls resting on top of the waves. The view from the road was breathtaking. The emerald green hills rolled along beside the white sand of the beach.
This is beautiful,
Haywan gasped as we sped past the sign that welcomed us to the town. Okay, Becca, I said as we slowed down. It's time to lead us home.
You got it,
she hollered from the jeep.
Onward, driver! I'm not sure I signed up for this job.
Kat laughed as she rolled her eyes. Becca directed us through the narrow road, and we weaved past some little cottages with perfectly kept gardens.
Everything looks clean here,
Haywan called out as we passed a red brick house with a thatched roof.
There's no sign of dinos. Do you think they haven't reached here?
Becca asked excitedly.
That's not too likely,
Kat admitted with a skeptical look around.
But this is certainly one of the strangest things I've seen in a while. It's so normal.
True, I agreed. It was strange that there seemed to be no broken windows, dried blood, or bodies. Considering how much damage had been done everywhere else, it was jarring to see untouched houses and a peaceful landscape. We drove away from the coastline and passed several more little cottages with no dead dinos in their yards. And when we reached a curved street, Becca jumped in her seat to peer out of the passenger window.
"This is the street,"
she gasped.
"That's Mum's house, the third on the right. Oh, my God, I can't believe this is happening."
The blonde was almost falling out of the Jeep as we approached her house, and I could see her brown eyes filling up with tears. Then we all pulled up to a white brick house, and I smiled at the quaint row of hedges lining the little porch. Like the others we had seen, it seemed peaceful and untouched from the outside. The garden was fairly large, and it had a slightly overgrown lawn and a wooden swing seat. There were yellow roses that lined a neat flower bed, and a stone path led to the red front door. It was the picture of English countryside charm, and there wasn't a spot of dino blood on the pristine stonework.
"Here we are, Becca,"
Haywan sighed, and the two of us parked next to the little stone wall at the edge of the garden.
"Home sweet home."
Becca half jumped, half fell out of the Jeep before Cat stopped the engine, and she seemed to have forgotten all about her injured leg in her excitement. "Whoa," I said as I jumped off my bike. "Take it easy." I took Becca's hand and steadied her on her feet, and she wiped some happy tears from her face. I left a few kisses in her hair while she sniffed and giggled, and then we turned to look at her mum's home.
"Nice place,"
Kat said, and strolled over from her Jeep.
"So cute,"
Haywan agreed.
"Your mum has good taste. Let's go,"
Becca said, and she pulled me by the hand into the garden. The blonde limped as fast as she could up the path, and I could feel her palm sweat and tremble when we reached the door. "Ready?" I asked, and I hoped more than anything that we would find Becca's mother alive and well behind the door. Haywan and Kat stood behind us, and they both put a hand on Becca's shoulders.
"Okay,"
Becca whispered.
"Here we go."
She reached out to the golden doorknob and twisted it, and to my surprise, it opened without resistance. My stomach dropped. It couldn't be a good sign that the house was unlocked. And Becca must have had the same thought because she covered her mouth and gasped. "It's okay," I reassured her. "Do you want me to go in first?"
"I think so,"
the Brit whispered through her hand.
"Please, Jason. I can't handle seeing anything bad in there."
I gently let go of her hand, and I swung my rifle around to my chest as I stepped into the house. The door creaked when I pushed against it, and there were no lights on inside. But the daylight behind me illuminated the hardwood floor and pale yellow walls. I was in a small corridor with a narrow staircase to my right, and a closed white door stood to my left. I took a moment to listen for any signs of life, and even though I really didn't want to, I sniffed the air to check for a death scent. To my relief, it smelled fresh and clean in here. That could be a good sign. The girls waited silently on the front step, and I started to make my way to the white door. I gently pushed it open and walked into the dim room, and after a quick scan, I could tell I was alone. I flicked the light switch on, and a cozy living room was revealed. It had a gray sofa, a large television, and an assortment of trinkets displayed over a fireplace. The colorful, striped rug led out into a kitchen with white tiles, and a little dining room was at the very end of the house. I traveled carefully through each room in turn and surveyed every corner. But then I lowered my rifle the slightest bit. "There's nobody here," I called, and Becca came hobbling in to join me.
"What?"
she gasped as she frantically looked around.
"Mom! Mom!" "We'll check upstairs,"
Haywan said at once, and she led Kat to the stairway. Then Becca limped into the kitchen and then into the dining room. I felt nauseous as I watched her face become more and more desperate. And she eventually slid down onto one of the wooden chairs in the dining room. I made my way through the kitchen to join her, and as I took one more glance around, I noticed the knife block on the counter was empty. "Hey," I said gently as I knelt beside Becca, "this doesn't mean anything. There's no signs of a struggle or a break-in, so she must have left by her own choice. Maybe she's just gone for some food and she'll be back soon." I didn't want to give Becca false hope. But there was something about the house that made me believe her mom was still alive. If there had been any kind of fight, surely there would be at least a smashed glass or smear of blood. And who kept a knife block around the house if they weren't going to store knives in it? The blonde sniffed, and I gently wiped a tear from her soft cheek as she bit her lip. Haywan and Kat's footsteps raced back down the stairs, and both girls looked eager to speak with Becca. their eyebrows wrinkled with worry as they hurried to the table. But then they shook their heads as I met their gaze.
She's not here,
Heiwan announced.
But I noticed something weird while we were looking around up there. There's a bunch of picture frames that don't have anything in them. So?
Becca asked.
So?
The Korean continued.
A bunch of them had little titles like Baby's First Bath and Becca's First Day at School. Becca, I think your mum took the pictures with her, which means she must have left by her own choice.
The blonde looked up at Heiwan with wide eyes, and I could see the glimmer of hope came back to her. The knives are gone too, I quickly added and stood up. On the countertop in the kitchen, there's just an empty block.
It's really empty?
Becca asked and clutched the table's edge. Yes. Super weird, right? She must have armed herself.
Of course she did,
Kat firmly agreed.
I'm guessing this woman is where Becca got her badassery from. She's out there somewhere, and I bet we find her before the day's out.
It was a bold claim, but I was grateful for Kat's positivity, because it was clearly what Becca needed. The blonde Brit nodded vigorously and wiped her eyes on her sleeve before she stood up.
We should check next door,
Becca decided.
She's such a gossip. She was always around the neighbors. Janie lives on the left. They would sit in their gardens with wine and chat shit for hours.
Then maybe they've teamed up,
Kat nodded.
Let's go check it out.
We headed back through the kitchen and living room, and I watched as Becca's eyes darted over every inch of the house as we made our way outside. As soon as we were outside, I glanced up at the sky, and Kat suspiciously glanced down the street. It was bizarre that there were no signs of dinos, and even though this was a good thing, I couldn't help but feel unsettled. Everything was just so untouched, and the normalcy was more concerning than half the dinos we'd seen today. The neighboring house looked similar to Becca's mom's house. It was the same white stone, and even had a garden swing near the door. There weren't as many flowers over here, and the paint job on the door was a dusty blue. Heiwan tried the handle, and once again the front door swung open as if someone was expecting visitors.
What the hell?
Kat muttered, and we stepped inside together. The layout was identical, but the decor was much more minimal and crisp. There were no yellow walls, and everything from the stairs to the little door on my left was white.
Let's do it,
Kat said, as she nudged Heiwan and the two girls jogged upstairs. I took the same path through the house as I had before, and I only found white curtains, white tables, and a brown leather armchair. The place was empty.
Okay, what the fuck?
Becca scoffed as she threw her arms up in the air.
Where the hell have they gone?
And why? I asked. If this place is somehow dino-free, why would anyone want to leave? We looked around the neat rooms one more time, but there was nothing out of the ordinary to see. No blood-stained weapons in the sink, and no hastily written letter attached to the fridge. When Heiwan and Kat returned from upstairs, they just shrugged, and we all stood in the neat little kitchen in silence.
Is there anywhere else she might go?
Heiwan asked, as she drummed the white countertop.
Any place in the town that could be safer? Like a community center or something? There's a little library,
Becca sighed.
But I don't think that would be much better. Oh my god.
What? I asked, as the blonde put her hands on her head.
The castle!
Becca replied.
Raven Hall! Mum always went there to do hair for events, weddings and stuff like that, you know? I think she might even have a key for the staff entrance. There's a castle here?
Heiwan asked.
But this place is so tiny. Does every town in England just have its own castle?
Didn't you say your dad has an island?
Kat snorted.
He doesn't own the island,
the Korean replied in a matter-of-fact tone.
He just has a huge base on it.
Did you say huge base? I cut in.
Plus a private jet,
Kat added with an arched eyebrow.
This is not about me right now,
Heiwan shrugged.
Becca, you mentioned an ancient castle. It's not old-looking anymore,
Becca said.
They pretty much turned it into a modern hotel and redid all the rooms and everything. It's quite swanky. There's a big bit for golf and stuff. It's to the east, just a bit out of town.
You think your mum's gone on holiday for the apocalypse?
Kat asked, and I could tell she was fighting against a smirk.
Yeah, I thought this was a rescue mission.
Heiwan snorted. Guys, I chuckled. If Becca thinks this castle is where her mom is, then we need to go check it out.
Of course,
Heiwan agreed.
I just hope this one isn't filled with ghosts or falling stairs. I... What?
Kat asked, but we were already hurrying back out of the house and into the garden. Becca ran as fast as she could on her injured leg, and I helped her into the jeep before I rushed over to my motorcycle and started the engine. Haywan and Kat were right behind us, and the pair had their engines running in a matter of seconds.
She has to be there,
Becca said while she wrestled with her seatbelt.
I bet Janie's there too. Those two probably decided to team up and camp out in the castle. There's probably a dungeon and everything to keep them safe.
To the dungeon, I cheered.
To the castle,
Haywan whooped.
Which way, Becca? It's right near one of the cliff sides,
the blonde Brit replied.
It's about 10 minutes away from here.
We left Becca's mom's house behind and set off toward the beach. It had been a punch in the gut to find that house empty, but we'd found our stride again, and I knew we'd all do anything we could to figure out where Becca's mom went. There was dense woodland around us as we left the town and made our way toward the sea, and I made sure to keep an eye on the trees for any sudden movements. The roar of our three engines rang out over the green fields around us, but after several minutes I thought I heard something else in the distance.
Guys, slow down for a sec,
I hollered.
I think I hear something.
Sure enough, once we all rolled to a halt, there were dull thuds coming from nearby. They were heavy and methodic, like large footsteps or the swing of a massive tail. I guess Ravenscar isn't immune to dinos, I whispered as I glanced in my side mirror. Let's hope we don't run into whatever that is. Keep your eyes on the trees and stay on your guard. The girls nodded while we proceeded at a slower pace, and Becca pulled her rifle into her lap as she peered out the jeep window.
When we reach the end of these trees,
Becca hissed,
there will be a huge cliffside to the left, and on top of the hill is Raven Hall.
I nodded, but I had a sense of dread as I felt the vibrations under my tires grow stronger. Whatever that noise is, I think we're headed right for it, I said. Becca, be ready to shoot.
I am,
the blonde Brit assured me. We all slowed down just as we neared a fork in the road, and there was an ornate golden sign waiting. The sign told us to take a left for Raven Hall, and as we turned the corner, I finally saw what was making all the noise. Then we all hit the brakes. There was a huge building way up the hill, and a low fortress with many turrets and sprawling greenery surrounded the structure. Outside the bounds of Raven Hall, a gathering of large dinosaurs prowled the grassy grounds, and none of them were the same species. It was hard to say exactly how many dinos surrounded the building since our view was partially blocked with trees, but I could see at least 5 giant beasts, and none of them seemed interested in attacking each other at all. They strolled around the perimeter with slow, methodical thuds, and every dino in the tribe, no matter their species, kept their eyes fixed on the castle.
What the hell?
Becca whimpered as we stared up at the array of dinos.
What are they doing?
I'd rather not speak my mind,
Kat muttered.
Jason?
Becca squeaked. It looks like they're working as a team to scope out the castle, I said, as a cold sweat ran down my back. There must be people inside.